Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Harold Fanning Jr., and you're listening to Roster Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm here with the Trash Man, and Trash Man, we are back for the Waiver Wire Show. We're here every Tuesday helping you navigate your waiver run. And for week two waivers, it's always interesting because we have all of our free agent budget available to us. Some of us have our waiver orders that are available to us, our high spots in the waiver order. The question always is this the week or do I keep some powder dry for in case some bigger fish come online in the coming weeks? To me, when I look at this run of waivers, Trash Man, first off, I would recommend going to rosterwatch.com, getting the waiver wire cheat sheet. I just have it pulled up that Trash Man had sent over to Cody and I. So what this show is just a lot of me just kind of asking some questions about where Trash Man initially has guys as far as his order of preference cross positionally and also his free agent acquisition bid stuff. So go over and get that. You can do so with a pro membership at rosterwatch.com, which gets you access to all of our other tools, access to ask us questions, the DFS cheat sheets, the player prop tool, all that stuff with a pro or premium membership at RosterWatch. All right, Trash Man. First off, is it a week for you where you're going to, are there any targets that just stand out to you this week on waivers where you're willing to actually, I don't think anything this week goes over 15 to 20%. As far as your budget, is there anybody that stands out to you that you're going whole hog on?
I mean, there's an upside in Quinshon Judkins that I think he's the kind of talent that could warrant that sort of consideration. I mean, Dylan Sampson played really well in week one. He's also a player that you likely should consider picking up if you can. But Quinshon Judkins, he was one of these top five running backs in the draft. Going into the draft and, you know, in a backfield where it looks like there's some room for him to potentially become the number one back in Cleveland.
He will become the number one back. I think Jerome Ford looks dusted, man.
No, Jerome Ford is dusted. I mean, Dylan Sampson did look good, though. So I guess that's the big question is, can he, you know, usurp?
So crazy. Dylan Sampson, this between the tackles demon at Tennessee, right? Just but a little bit undersized. People in Cleveland said he looked slow. Me getting my first look at him, we didn't go to Cleveland for the training camp tour or anything. And so, I mean, he does – people in Cleveland saying he looks kind of small. I do agree, and they're like, he's going to be the pass-catching back. I'm like, well, that's not really something that we've seen him really do before. I think we were all surprised. I should have it pulled up right now. I had the stats pulled up earlier. What, like how many, did he have like nine targets? It was something crazy. It was,
Let me see here.
He had 8 targets.
Yeah, I mean, that's for a running back, man, that's pretty good for PPR. And if he holds on to that role, the only thing with Judkins is, or just with this whole situation, I feel like there's like 4 Browns that we need to talk about, because we also need to talk about Harold Fannin and Cedric Tillman. But with Judkins' return, so one thing that's muddying that up is the fact that we still don't know exactly what the NFL is going to do with him. If they're going to give him any kind of disciplinary stuff, I tend to think that they won't, because they haven't done any disciplinary stuff with Isaiah Bond, who also got signed by the Browns.
Right.
And it's sort of the same. Both cases are ones that they declined to prosecute. So I kind of think he comes in, but there's a little murkiness around there. And then the murkiness around Dylan Sampson, of course, if we knew this would be like this moving forward, we're like, oh, well, he just put a hammer lock on this backfield.
Yeah.
But now, you know, Judkins is coming back and it feels weird. You know, really, really spinning up on a guy that could be the number 2. He could be the 1B. So that's where, you know, that's where we're at on those guys. I think something like 15% to maybe 20%. If you're in a tough spot, if you got like, if you drafted some, I'm trying to think of guys who you might've drafted that underperformed, that like Ken Walker.
Yeah. That's who I was thinking of.
There's certainly others, right? Maybe that's the kind of spot where if you went with a 0 RB build and you're a little bit worried about your RB depth, I think that going after Judkins, you could maybe warrant 15 to 20%. Sampson, I might be a little bit less than that. The only other guy that I thought we could have in this range, and I'm surprised that you didn't have him in that same range, was Trey Benson, who is only rostered in like 42% of Yahoo leagues. I know in most of your leagues, you know, Trey Benson was drafted. I totally get it, but he did look good. He had the one super big.
He had that one big run, but then so did Miles Sanders. I mean, but I'm not that Trey Benson is Miles Sanders, but I think Connor is still the guy there in Arizona. That's why
he'd be third on my list too. But I think he belongs in that tier of consideration. I think if he's on your waivers, you should consider picking up Trey Benson.
There's a player who I couldn't put on because he's too highly owned, just barely, and that's Bashel Tootin, who was 57% owned.
Did you put LaQuint Allen on the sheet? He got into the game before Bashel Tootin did. I mean, we have Bashel Tootin as a higher. I think LaQuint Allen should probably be just down here at the very bottom, right? Cody added Gainwell. I think that makes sense, but I think kind of LaQuint Allen down here around where we have, like, you know.
I mean, but he only had But
Tank Bigsby's gone.
Yeah. Okay.
He could end up being the RB2. I think it'll be 2, but it could be LaQuint Allen Jr. And okay. LaQuint Allen has a terrific receiving profile. So,
You think Allen is more in the mold of a Bigsby than a Tootin is, or at least not a Bigsby, but a short yardage kind of back.
I'll need to go back and look at my notes from the Senior Bowl from the inside run drills. I don't really remember that, but there could be something there. Mm. The fact of the matter is, if you drafted Travis Etienne, and a lot of our subscribers did, you're feeling real good today. If you drafted Tank, I said on this show, dude, this whole Tank Bigs, they gaslight us every year with this guy, and it's just never true. It's other running backs that you can consider. I saw that you had Rashad White here on the list. I thought that was interesting. I looked, I'm like, man, he's got to be too highly owned. He's not. He's only owned at 42% of Yahoo leagues. Certainly not a huge game from Bucky Irving last week, but don't go selling low on him or panicking about Bucky. I think that he'll end up being just fine. And then also, I haven't done the quality control check here on Najee Harris, but yeah, it looks like Najee Harris. You got him on the list. Why do you have him up here though, above guys like Jaden Blue and Ollie Gord and some of the kind of upside backups? He didn't play much.
He didn't play much, but I don't think that's because he's not going to play much. I think he just, you know, didn't get the kind of practice that was necessary to have him have a lot of snaps and touches his first game. But I think he's going to be right there. I mean, I think he's quicker to playing time than maybe a Blue at this point. And it's not like Hampton like blew us away in his first game. I think what he had like 2.9, maybe 3 average yards per carry.
It wasn't great. I mean, he had 2 targets, but I mean, 17 overall total touches on 80% of snaps is
like, yeah. But I mean, I don't think that's going to hold.
And I was looking at the fantasy points data suite earlier this morning, and I have some stuff on there that I wanted to talk about. But I think that Omarion Hampton was one of these super high stuff rate guys from week one. And that's not something that you necessarily love to see, but I think that Najee probably should be owned in 12 team leagues with regular size benches, especially if you need running back help to maybe just stash and see. He's not the most sexy stash you could ever imagine. Of course, you know, it's not going to be as exciting as stashing a Bashaul Tootin or something like this. But I do think that you're probably right. It's probably worth benching him. Anybody else that you wanted to touch on at running back before we get into the wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, defense, and then we can talk about the players that you can drop this week?
I mean, Tyler Algier, I mean, it was the same number of touches almost as Bijan Robinson. I mean, he just sticks around. I don't know what kind of upside he has, but I mean, he's always seems to get solid touches.
At wide receiver, I feel like Hollywood Brown, I think, is going to be the most highly added one this week. Of course, Xavier Worthy, we don't know how long he's going to be out. I'm tilted about the Xavier Worthy stuff because it's a shoulder, and with these shoulders, they say that first they were saying he'll be able to come back soon because he's wearing a brace, but he needs to get more testing. And Worthy's a pretty small guy, you know what I mean? And he's just like, if he's wearing a brace on his shoulder and stuff, and like he plays a position to where you're not going to depend on him for contested balls. What you're depending on him to do is run by the entire defense, open things up, and get open and separate with his speed. And when you do that, you're generally having to kind of, you're having to move your body and you're having to frame footballs and stuff. Like, I just wonder how much that's going to affect his ability to do that if he's wearing some cumbersome brace, right? Rashi Rice.
That being said, I did have Kayshon Boutte above him just because I think Boutte's situation could be more permanent than a Hollywood Brown's potentially.
I think we got to have Hollywood Brown listed above Kayshon Boutte on the sheet. I understand Kayshon Boutte. I mean, what is what you're thinking is like, all right, what if this is LSU Boutte that we have here?
Yeah, and then what if Worthy does come back shortly?
Well, you know, Rashi Rice will too. If you're picking up Marquise Brown, it's because you have somebody, we don't know how long Drake London or somebody's going to be out and stuff like that. And, 16 targets in a game just doesn't grow on trees, especially not for Patrick Mahomes. So it was 16 targets for him. Was it more than 16? Maybe. Have I gone crazy? It was, 16 targets. I mean, it's like 16 targets sitting on the waiver wire. It's like it's a must add. I mean, I get that. Kayshon Boutte looks good. He looks good too. That's the kind of pickup that I like. I mean, he's still super young. He's only 23 or 24 years old. 8 targets. He played 82% of snaps. He's certainly not an afterthought for me at all. And if you look at almost a 40% air yard share, only 17.4% target share here in this game, though. Mm-hmm. So
I just saw the opportunity for him to potentially be a number one receiver on a New England offense that, projects to be trailing a lot.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
That's fair. And, you know, like we're going to talk about Cedric Tillman, a 17% target share is what he had this week. He had the same target share as Jerry Jeudy. I think it was seven. Was it 17%? Let me just filter by that real quick. So Jeudy was 17.8, Cedric Tillman 17.8. So both those guys you expect to have bigger target shares. But, you know, the aforementioned Dylan Sampson with all those targets. And then you have a tight end who we'll talk about, Harold Fannin, coming in and getting a bunch of targets too. Like both those guys were guys we were going to talk about and say like, all right, well, with Tillman, you hope that that target share raises up a little bit. If I have a kind of hard time seeing that. Maybe with Kayshon Booty, I don't have a hard time seeing him getting that thing up to 22 or 23.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it definitely makes sense. I mean, it just seems like there's a quicker and a shorter path to fantasy relevance on a weekly basis.
Okay, so
we probably like Drake May long term more than we do a Joe Flacco.
Yeah, you think? Oh, all right. So Hollywood Brown, Kayshon Booty, and then also people are going to be considering maybe a tier down from there. We mentioned Cedric Tillman. People are going to pick up Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't have him higher is just because I mean, you know, it's once bitten, twice shy with this guy. We've seen him come and go as far as fantasy, you know, production goes. So I didn't want to get over my skis on him.
No, I get that. One guy who I had to bump up the list for you here, Trashman, was Elik Iyemanner. I mean, you just look at what he had a 25% target share. He's not going to be going against the Denver Broncos secondary every single week. But like, so his target share was 23rd in the whole.
Yeah, he had one or two bad drops, didn't he?
I know Ridley did. I don't recall the Iyemanner drops. Maybe he did.
I felt like I remember seeing that, but.
But the most interesting thing, what I was saying about what I saw on the Fantasy Points data suite earlier. His first read percentage was number 9 in the whole league this last week. He was Cam Ward's first read 36.8% of the time. The only guys above him are all studs. The guy he had a higher first read percentage than Garrett Wilson did with Justin Fields, who was completely locked on to Garrett Wilson.
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, I think I was just waiting to see a little bit more actual production out of him.
Yeah, but in week one, we got to look at usage trends and say, like, I mean, you can't, he's the first read almost 40% of the time in that first game. Now, could that have to do with the fact that Ridley was facing the tougher coverage? Sure. But I think it's notable, man. 25% target share, almost 40% first read. Elik Iyemanner just, and maybe it's just for deeper leagues, but man, if you're hurting a wide receiver, Wouldn't hurt to stash the guy. I didn't think that the game looked beautiful with the Titans and the Broncos, and I don't think the Cam Ward's perfect or anything like that. But I thought I watched him. Man, he's got a big arm. He spins a nice football. I kind of like him. I think that there's more in store there for Elik Iyemanner. Well, any other deeper kind of cuts at wide receiver that you were interested in?
Maybe Ray McCloud. There's a little interest.
I like Iyemanner better than Wan'Dale Robinson.
Robinson had some targets.
He always has targets, and he rarely does anything with it. I understand, though. It was like it was super tilting. It was like Russell Wilson. Why do you keep throwing the ball to 17?
Yeah, I mean, he had 8 targets.
That's about what Iyemanner had. A tough, much, much tougher matchup. I think he had 7. Iyemanner should be over Wan'Dale. Okay.
I mean, it's not something I need to mince words over.
I think that you have Brandon Ayuk on here, I think that that's kind of interesting, especially with Juwan Jennings getting banged up again. We don't know when he's going to be back, but that's a good speculative ad if he's available in your league, especially if you have IR spots. And then also people are going to want to pick up Calvin Austin, and which I think is probably fine. I think it's fine. He got reasonable quarterback play there. He looks like
the number two.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh, of course. I'm most excited to talk about these tight ends. Harold Fannin and Juwan Johnson, but most notably Juwan Johnson, because I mean, it just really sticks out. If you watched any of that game, oh, he had 11 targets. So it was, Juwan Johnson had a 23.9% target share. So that would be only
their safety blanket for sure.
Only Sam LaPorta had a better Sam LaPorta had a better target share. Tyler Warren had a better target share. Dallas Goedert had a better target share last week. That's interesting to me. That had to do with just AJ Brown. Just what happened to AJ Brown?
I just think Hurts didn't go at Diggs. He just wasn't doing it.
Trey McBride had a better target share, and then that's the list of tight ends that had better target shares than Juwan Johnson. And if you look at just his percentage of routes run, here's the thing, dude. He ran. It wasn't just his percentage of routes run. He ran 39 routes on the week. Like these Saints are running a ton of plays. He ran 39 routes out of all wide receivers and all tight ends. That was 13th of anybody as far as the routes that he ran. One of the best route running, like he had 11 targets. He ran 39 routes. Spencer Rattler loves him. As long as Rattler's the quarterback, dude, I'm in on Juwan Johnson. I think that he should be owned in every single league. Tight end is so, like, you see something like this where he pops off for 11 targets and the underlying stuff looks good. I wonder if I look at the fantasy points, what his first read percentage was to him. Because it felt like he locked in. Hold on. Juwan. Dude, he had a 28.1% first read percentage. The only tight ends with higher first read percentages, again, Sam LaPorta, Warren Goddard, Trey McBride. That's it. I mean, what's
– he was a target hound, and he was, you know, like you said, a first read option for Rattler in his first start of the season.
Make sure to look at him. Make sure to look at Harold Fannin. And check out the cheat sheet for our exact recommendations for all those guys, okay? Also, if I were you, I'd go pick up the Seattle defense.
Why?
Because they looked really good to me, and they get this who do they get this week?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they get Pittsburgh, and then next week they get the Saints.
Okay.
So for 2 weeks, I think that those are good. Those are good pickups to make. All right, here we go. It's the game, Trash Man. Can you drop them? Okay. Can you drop them? All right. You ready to go?
Yep.
And these are questions that people have asked. Can I drop Roschon Johnson for any of these guys?
For any of them, yes.
Jerome Ford.
Yes, absolutely. You should.
Caleb Johnson.
Yes, you could drop him for a Judkins.
Chris Rodriguez.
Yes.
Xavier Leggett.
I mean, yeah, he's on the sheet. Yeah.
Woody Marks.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't see why y'all believe in him like y'all do, but.
All right. Ollie Gordon.
Yes.
Josh Downs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't drop Gordon or Downs yet.
I mean, you can, though. You could drop them for a Judkins or a Hollywood Brown.
Christian Kirk.
Yep.
Marvin Mims.
Yep.
Mark Andrews.
I mean, I don't want to, but for Johnson, I could.
Tank Bigsby.
Yes.
This is going to be tough, Trash Man. Can you drop Jaden Blue?
You can.